Now that you found a date, hopefully, where do you take them here in Illinois? Where's a good place to take your date, get out there during this fall season? To help us with that is Corey Joe from the Illinois Tourism. What is it, the division? He's the director of Illinois Tourism. Corey, how are you?
Hi, Frank. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure, Corey. So what do they actually call the Illinois Tourism? Division?
Well, it's the Illinois Office of Tourism, and I'm the state tourism director.
There you go. So, Corey, I don't know if you've been listening to the show. We've been trying to hook people up for the first hour. Great time of year to go on dates, especially in our wonderful state. What do you recommend? You know, what's going on around our wonderful state of Illinois?
Well, there's a lot of great, it's a great time to travel. Fall makes up about 30% of our overall visitor volume to the state. So that's pretty exciting. And there's some, my top three, of course, within probably a three-hour drive of the city, Galena in Joe Davies County, which is in the northwestern part of the state.
Yes.
People think Illinois is so flat, but when you get out into Galena in the Joe Davies County area, it's beautiful. The fall colors. One of my favorite things to do while in Galena is to go out to Eagle Ridge Resort and Spa, which is a great destination in itself for golf and relaxing weekend. But they have a company that's called Galena on the Fly, and it's a hot air balloon company. They launch in the morning and in the evening. They try to launch all year round if possible, but it's still a great time to go see the fall colors via hot air balloon. And Galena is filled with over 100 inns and B&Bs and great restaurants. So it's a great way to take a loved one or a date.
Do you have to schedule the hot air balloons in advance?
You do. Yes, you do. GalenaOnTheFly.com, or you can also call the Visit Galena office as well, visitgalena.org, and they will help schedule those for you.
And that would be a romantic little trip, wouldn't it?
Yes. Well, it's a great trip. But like I said, it's about a three-hour drive just north and west of Chicago, and it's very historic. The entire community is on the National Register of Historic Places. The oldest hotel in the state, the DeSoto House Hotel, is right there on Main Street. And just a great time. I love going in all four seasons, but the fall is the best time. And with, such a dry late summer, the fall colors have not been as vibrant, but they're starting to change now.
Right.
And we also have a fantastic fall color report on our website at enjoyillinois.com. Where you can check out where the colors are changing and then plan your trip.
I love the site. What else do you got for us?
Well, another area that's popular as well, spring, summer, fall, and winter, is Starved Rock Country, which is just about 70 minutes just south of here. Starved Rock Country is the Ottawa, LaSalle, Peru area. And I got to tell you, it's fantastic. Starved Rock State Park and then Matheson State Park, both are great for hiking, checking out the fall colors, but both state parks have these fantastic waterfalls, and they're flowing. I just had some friends that were down there last weekend. Great little towns within the Starved Rock Country area. If you're looking for some outdoor adventure, that's a great place to go. I was just along the mighty Mississippi down in southwestern Illinois two weeks ago in Grafton and Alton. Great river towns, Pierre Marquette State Parks. There's so many great things. Our state parks are so great.
Right.
And there's beautiful lodges and cabins. And you can check out all those trip ideas and itineraries of places to go at our state parks at our website as well.
So, folks, the moral of the story here is get out of Chicago a little bit. Get out of the city.
Get out of Chicago. Stay in Illinois. There's so many great things. I think a lot of times people think about going for a quick weekend and might go to Michigan or Wisconsin. But we have so many great outdoor adventures, great locations in Illinois. They're very affordable, easy to get to. The three I mentioned, Galena, Grafton, Alton, and Starved Rock, are accessible. Galena's 3 hours. Starved Rock Country is about 70 minutes, and you can go right to Alton on Amtrak even.
All family-friendly, Corey?
All very much so. Very family-friendly. A lot of great activities, not only for loved ones, but the entire family. Who wouldn't want to disconnect and spend a week in a rustic cabin at one of our state parks? It's just a great way to connect with the family.
You just said it, man.
I was just going to say that, too. I was in Galena, was it last year, for a wedding, and it was the perfect, just unplug from everything.
Sure. I just saw a post from Jim Carrey, the actor Jim Carrey, who said something like, he's like, there's nothing better than to go into a, you know, a rural forest area and just leave the phone and detach. I'm all about that. Corey, thank you so much. I appreciate the tips on this. I'm actually going to plan a trip to Galena. You sold me on Galena, and I'm going to take my family.
You're going to love it, Frank. You're going to love it.
You're going to love it. And I guarantee it.
And what's the website again?
The website is www.enjoyillinois.com. You can check out all the great trip itineraries. We also have a Fall Travel Illinois magazine, which has a lot of fall-winter activities. And you can download a copy there or also sign up, and we'll mail you a copy to your door.
Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show here on WGN Radio 720. We're talking about Halloween for your pets. How do you do it up? Do you get your doggy all dressed? You have a pet, right?
I do.
What do you have?
I have a 85-pound chocolate lab.
Just a little guy.
He still thinks he's 7 pounds.
Do you dress him up?
I don't. I have this like Halloween scarf I'll put on him, and like that's about it.
Really?
Everything's too big. Like I'd have to buy people clothes for him.
Get creative.
I don't know. Anyone have any ideas on what I should dress my chocolate lab up, whose name is Sunday, by the way, like the dessert.
Sunday. Here's a yellow lab. A text just came in from 219 that's dressed as a shark. That's cool.
Oh, look at that's that. Adorable. Oh, yeah. My God, that's so cute.
And then we got a picture of Toby, a little terrier dressed as a mummy. That one's easy because you're basically just taking...
You just wrap stuff around him, right?
Toilet paper and looks like some tape.
I'm surprised they
keep it on.
He doesn't
look too comfortable.
That's what I'm thinking, too, like because my dog, he always, like, the minute you try and put anything on like his head, he paws it off right away.
So if you missed the beginning of the show, I have just got my son and daughter got a mini poodle, black, cute little mini poodle named Mickey.
Mick. I love it.
And we haven't yet picked a costume for him. And he's only 2 months. Do you think it's too soon?
No. You know what? I mean, I don't know if you're going to like this, but his name is Mick. I feel like you need to dress him up as Mickey Mouse.
No.
I know you don't like it, but it just goes with it. And
it's not Mickey Mouse. It's Mickey from Rocky.
Okay, so then maybe dress him up as a boxer.
That's a good idea. Dun-dun-dun. Or, you know, Mickey had that little, like, that little winter hat, little cap he puts on.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get one of those and get a little,
you
like
could probably find one.
We'll make something. Yeah. But people say, you know, we got people on the fence here. Some people love dressing the dogs up. Some people hate it. We got a text in from the 773. Please do not encourage listeners to dress up their pets in costumes. The pets hate them.
Yeah.
Your pet is no exception. I work with animals all the time. They get stressed by this. I can understand
I think they
that.
Do, yeah. That's why I just, the scarf is like all I'll do because there's, you know.
Well, with that then, how about just putting clothes on pets, period? I mean, what about people who walk around with little t-shirts on their dogs?
I think it's so strange.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Like, I just saw a dog the other day that had a sweatshirt on.
No.
Like, I'm like.
Listen, I don't care. Like, for me, it's one less thing I got to do.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like, what if you do it so much? Like, your dog's going to have more clothes than you.
But look at these pictures. They're so
Yeah, but
great.
It's so strange.
Like, this little, I think, what is those
what
wrinkly
is it?
Dogs?
Oh, it's a chow.
A chow dressed like a lion. Okay. He has, like, a lion mane. That's awesome,
That's
though.
Like the Amazon commercial.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, everyone? Where the little baby's crying.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like the dog. And, like, if that doesn't
pull
your
heartstrings.
What
about if it's just for a picture? I get it could stress them, but just for a moment.
Maybe.
You know?
Like, I don't know.
Dress them up for a second, put a picture, and then take it off.
I don't know if I could even get anything on my dog. Like,
is it weird to dress your little baby up, your real baby? And,
well,
like,
no, your
you
babies
know, clothes
need clothes.
And,
like, that's your dog doesn't need a sweatshirt and pants.
True.
Even though it is adorable, some
but
of
when
them.
When I was a kid, my mom dressed me like a little sailor's outfit, and I didn't like it.
That's acceptable, though.
But she took pictures and gave it to everybody.
Yeah, that's what moms do. Yeah. They dress you in embarrassing stuff and hold it against your head like years and years later. And I bet if we dig deep enough and if your mother just goes through some of her old photo albums, we could find that photo.
Or like here's some good ideas. Some textures are keep coming in. 312-981-7200. Do you dress your dog up? Is it safe? Because we were actually waiting on one of our guests, a veterinarian, Dr. Ashley Rossman, who's MIA at the moment. But her thing is that it actually could be dangerous for pets. Mm-hmm. And just choose the right costume. Just not, don't do it, but you know, choose the right costume. You know, like here's a great suggestion for my dog, a little black poodle, mini poodle. How about making him a Hershey's label so he could just be a chocolate bar? That's easy.
Oh, that's cute.
Right? You just yeah. How do you get stick it to him, though?
Maybe like somewhere, something where it like wraps around his stomach, you know,
like a
cardboard.
Like a harness.
Yeah, kind of like a harness.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You could do that.
There's got to be some friendly ideas out there.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. But so you're just going to pass on it this year?
Yeah, I just like the scarf. That's kind of, I think my dog would, I think he would like secretly hate me if I ever did put him in like actual clothes.
No, I think he'd forgive you after you fed him.
I mean, he would, but like, I would just feel too bad.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, let's talk to Denise. She works with animals, and she has an opinion. Hey, Denise, how are you?
Hi.
So talk to me. Is it good or bad to dress these animals up?
You want my honest opinion?
I want your honest opinion, then I want your not so honest opinion.
I'm also a scientist, so I do communication, so I'm in the right brain and left brain, both. But the 10 or 12 years I've worked with animals with communication and helped people with their problems with animals' behavior, this is one of the top two complaints I get. Oh, my God, please tell them not to use costumes, especially hats, especially stuff on my face.
Right.
Especially stuff that it was mentioned, the mummy costume. Horrible idea. And animals also use they really interact with their environment through their fur, just like we do with our skin.
Right.
They become humiliated. They hate being laughed at. And these costumes are ridiculous looking.
So wait, hold on. Denise, they could really sense when somebody's laughing at them like a person would?
Absolutely. They have the same emotions we do. And this becomes more and more of an issue every year because I see these poor little guys and they're just feeling completely embarrassed and they just want to get out of this costume. And everyone I talk to about this, when they ask me for advice, they say, oh, but my dog, my cat, my bird loves the costumes. And I look at them and go, you know, I hate to disillusion you, but no, your animal is not an exception. You will break trust with a cat forever if you try to put that cat in a costume.
Cats are sketchy to begin with. Like, I don't trust cats. Well, you know,
I have lots of cats. You just don't know them very well.
Well, maybe I'm biased to dogs, but they just like they can turn on you in a second.
Maybe you're just hanging out with the wrong cats, Frank.
Maybe I'm rolling around.
I think that's
the wrong
what
cats.
It is. I'm gonna go with that.
Denise, so your background is in pet psychology.
It's not really the same thing. And like I said, I'm actually a scientist and I'm currently a science teacher. So I really do understand that people are skeptical about this. And,
sure.
and my issue is in 30 years, we'll probably know what the mechanism is. But I took classes in this after I used communicators a little bit for problems. And basically, they do all the work. And, you know, it's like cellular communication. It's like communication.
I believe in all that. Just to clear the record, I am 100% in belief. I'm with you on this. I am not a doubter. I think 100% that animals can feel the energy and vibe with you. And
absolutely.
When there's a tense situation in the house, you could see the animal react. So I think you're right. Maybe I'm not. You changed my mind. I'm not dressing my dog up, Denise, all because of you.
Thank you. And with your puppy, if your puppy ever wants to come and sit on your solar plexus, your stomach area, or by your heart, let that puppy do that because animals are really good at clearing our energy and our stress.
Let's talk to Marilyn here. We were talking about pet costumes for Halloween. Do you or don't you dress up your pets? And joining us now via phone is Marilyn, who disagrees with the prior caller. Hey, Marilyn, how are you?
Okay. So, I have a nephew who is a veterinarian.
Okay.
And he has a pug that he dresses up in a tuxedo.
And he's
in the tuxedo and greets people as they bring their animals into his hospital.
That's cute. And he has no problem with it? He doesn't think it stresses the dog out or causes any issues with the dog?
No.
He
doesn't have the pugs anymore, but he had them for quite a few years, and he would bring them into work.
I would have to say there's probably more people who would love to dress their pets up than not. I mean, our text lines are blowing up with photos of cats and dogs. And let's see, you got little Nick over here from the 630, dressed with a little hat. Looks really cute.
Is that
cute.
A cat?
That's a cat.
A cat and a hat? Oh, my
cat
God.
And a hat. Johnny Angel is a devil. It's another cat dressed up like a little devil. So, Marilyn, listen, I'm with you. I'm listening to the psychologist or the scientist who's talking about how, you know, it affects the dogs. And I do understand the idea of like energy and how, you know, dogs do pick up on that. And it could potentially stress a dog out. And you're saying your son, who's a vet, doesn't really think about that. He's like, you know, it's in fun. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just a preference thing. Is that really what it comes down to?
What was that?
Just a preference, basically, is what it comes down to here, is whether you want to dress up your dog or not.
Uh-huh.
American belief system. Well, thank you, Marilyn. We appreciate the call.
Okay, his dog seemed to enjoy it.
Well, that's awesome. And maybe we'll have your son call on the show and talk about it. Give him our number, 312-981-7200. If he's around, have him call us. We'd love to talk to him about it.
Oh, he isn't here now.
Well, he's not here now. Well, thanks, Marilyn. We appreciate it. Gosh, I don't know. I'm still not going to address it. I'm scared from the caller before who said that, you know, it's going to freak the dog out to dress him up.
I mean, I think you can tell, though. Like, you can... I mean, no, sound might sound strange. Like, you can see it in a dog. You can feel it, too, when they're, like, nervous or, like, anxious or where they're, like, excited about it. Some dogs may enjoy it, you know? Like, I don't have that dog.
You know what? I know some people. I was in Hanover Park yesterday on a Halloween party, and they have a dog. And they were saying she does not leave the house unless she has a T-shirt on. I'm like, why?
I believe it.
So she had a
wait. The dog doesn't leave the house.
The dog does not go potty until she has some type of clothes on. So she had a Halloween costume. She had a tutu and everything. I'm like, look at. She doesn't even want to take it off, or even she is not bothered by it. She's like, oh no, it's because she will not leave the house unless she has some type of wardrobe on.
Is she a chihuahua?
She meaning the dog? Or...
It was a poodle.
Oh, I was gonna say it's got to be some kind of toy.
She meaning the friend or she meaning the dog?
The poodle. The poodle.
Come on.
Yes, the poodle does not leave to potty unless she has at least a shirt on.
Well, is it acceptable if your pet wears a Cub jersey?
Never.
We just got a text in from the 708 with three cats wearing their Cubs jersey. So maybe it's acceptable if it's a Cubs jersey.
No.
No? Sox jersey?
Yes.
You're biased.
I am. And I'm not even going to pretend like I'm not.
Not fair.
Nope.
Not
it's fair. It's just how I feel.
All right. So we've been noshing on some really, really good food.
Yes.
And the head chef here from Raised Bar Chicago, Timothy Powles, joins us. Did I say that right?
You did.
I did. Timothy, your display here is amazing. And folks, head over to WGNradio.com /watch and look at the two dishes you just put together, which is just a small part of your fall menu. Timothy, how long have you been with... is it Raised Bar Chicago? Totally, or is it just because I've seen it?
It's Raised Bar. Raised Bar, right? Chicago is how you find us online. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the website, but the branding is Raised, right?
Raised. Yes.
Tell me about the concept of the restaurant and the bar, and how you got into the world of.
Sure, we're at the Renaissance Hotel on 1 West Wacker. We came up with the concept from Raised because we're on the riverfront. So the bridges that raise, that let the boats go through. And then also to raise your glass and raise your spirit, since we are a craft cocktail bar.
The double entendre. So I also, when I thought of it, I was like, oh, they're raising the bar on restaurant quality and food.
Well, that's the third. See?
And
yes,
the third, right? Yes. We could keep going all day
with it.
Yeah. When did you get into the culinary arts?
I've been doing this for 20 plus years.
Really?
Yeah. I found the Renaissance Hotel about 2 years ago. I've been working with them through all the remodeling. We've gone through a complete transformation, now fully open, doing some really cool stuff with food. I hear all the time, you can go to many rooftop bars that have great views, but we have the great food. I mean, let's face it, you bring a drink, that's why people come, but food is why they stay.
Absolutely.
And so we really take that serious. We shop as local as possible, make all of our stuff in-house as much as possible. As you see today, the curried meatballs, which is going to be our supper series.
It's my new favorite.
It's fantastic, I know.
Well, I'll tell you this. I love chicken, but I feel like it's hard when you go out to eat to find like a really good chicken dish.
I agree. It's either too dry or not cooked enough or not spiced well.
The chicken dish that you have in here, it has this a walnut like sauce on it,
exactly,
which I've never had anything like it. And I hate using the word nutty to describe it because it sounds...
But it is.
But it's nutty it's nutty. So delicious.
I actually thought it was a beef. I thought you were pulling out a roast.
Yeah.
Is what it looks like. Like visually, it looks like a roast because it's coated in this brown, you know,
like a gravy almost in
like
a way.
A gravy, yeah.
It's a pomegranate walnut chicken. And the idea behind it was that we get so many people that want a gluten-free dish, that want a dairy-free dish. And so this one almost feels like it has
very paleo.
Good. It's so good.
We stew it for about 30 minutes and we do the pomegranate and the walnuts on top. It's really
chef, what's your secret to tender chicken? And I know it's basic, mm-hmm, but it's not, in my opinion, not the easiest meat to cook. Well, the easiest protein to cook.
I find that some people, we all want to do things in a hurry. We want to cook things really fast, right? Mm-hmm. So what's 20 minutes at home, right? You can do something for 20 minutes. You get it low and slow, and that's all you need to do, and you're going to get a tender chicken every single time.
But crisp outside, tender in the middle. What's the secret?
So you want to cook it through and then put it in the broiler after it's cooked, and then crisp up the
See,
top.
That's the restaurant secret.
Yes, it is.
Yes. If you try to crisp before and then cook, you're going to end up with a dry
or
chicken.
Or crisp in the pan. Like if I want to crank my heat up and just char the outside, that's not going to do it because it's going to cook the
you,
right?
You can definitely char the outside, but then when you flip it into the oven, low and slow. That's what you want to do. 20, 30 minutes and you're going
to How great is his voice?
It's smooth, like butter.
I love it. It's like low and slow. Mm-hmm.
I think we should have you come in as much as you can, and you should bring us as much food as you can because I already feel
and
better.
And this is part of your new menu, right? That's good for
this
fall?
This is part of our supper series that supper we're doing series, okay. Every second Saturday from now through February. So we've already done one. This one's going to come out next, the second Saturday in November, and then we'll do one in December as well. So you'll see these features on there, the pomegranate chicken and then the meatball curry, the curry meatball.
Timothy, thanks for joining us and bringing some of this good grub along. Very unique flavors.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Let's dig into this, no pun intended, the meatballs. Mm-hmm. Describe to our listeners the amazingness that you brought in the studio.
Yeah, so we grind our meat in-house, and then we use a variety of spices. This you're going to find garam masala, you're going to find cumin, you're going to find turmeric. You're going to find a little bit of yogurt in this to help with some tenderness. That we then will roast off. And then
mostly meat-based?
It is a meat-based, yes, okay. Meatball. Yeah, we do put a little bit of breadcrumb in there just for some binder.
I thought I saw a little breadcrumb
in there. There was a little breadcrumb in there. Yeah, good eye, good
and,
eye.
And the sauce looks like a traditional red sauce, but it's not.
That's what I like about this.
See, dish. That's what I was trying to tell you during the break, is that although it's a curry sauce, mm-hmm. it looks like you're eating a traditional Italian meatballs and sauce.
It does, and then you get surprised. You're like, wait, that's not what it is.
It threw me for a loop.
Yes, we toast all those spices off, and it's a yogurt-based sauce.
Why that, though? Why the curry twist to it?
Because we're in November, right? Yeah. And everybody is doing the Thanksgiving, the traditional stuff. So we want to, when you come to Raised, we want to offer you something that you're not necessarily going to get somewhere else, but it's warm, it's hearty, it's going to warm you up. You're going to want to have a cocktail with it, the Jabroni.
What is this cocktail I'm talking about?
It's so fantastic. So it's a 30-day barrel-aged cocktail. It's a Tanqueray 10. It's going to have Aperol and house-made orange bitters in there with a little twist of orange on that. It just warms you up.
Jenna, what say you about this drink? Jenna is a professional mixologist outside of all the many things
that she does. One of my many things I do. I love the smell of it right away. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that's the first thing is like you don't drink right away. You smell right away. And instantly you smell the orange. You can even like smell the bitters in it too, but it's like refreshing. I'm not a gin person.
Either am I.
But it's smooth.
But it works.
And it has a nice little punch.
It does.
But it's not like a throat punch. No one wants a throat punch.
It's a soft,
but it's a soft, gentle, grace tap.
It's a little. Yes. Let me just rub your throat as I go down.
That's one way to describe it.
Is that a good description?
That's what we're going for. See, that's what Raised is all about.
You nailed it.
I don't need my coffee anymore. Oh, I should just throw that out the door.
So, Chef, do you also get involved in the mixology side of things?
So when it comes to the cocktails, they look to me for the dish, and then they will create a drink around the dish.
Yeah. Got it.
Because that's their expertise, not mine.
Yeah.
Although I can drink them.
I bet.
Yeah.
One of your many skills,
so
right?
One of my many.
Talk to me about the testing phase of putting a dish together. It always fascinates me. Like, does it start in your personal kitchen? Does it, you know, like...
It usually does, yes. Yeah. It usually does. For me, I'll get something in my head that I can't get out. And whether it's an ingredient, a sauce, or whatever the case may be. And then it's like I start playing with it and I start cooking for friends. And they give me feedback, which is how that will come. And then you bring it into the kitchen at work.
How does one become your friend?
Come to Raised. And I'll support you.
I love that. Yeah, definitely. RaisedBarChicago.com. Does that buy me a dish right there?
And you come and you just ask for Chef Timothy. Yes.
I will, for sure.
Oh,
now,
I will.
We discussed the chicken. What else could the non bread? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was making this last night. I was prepping it out.
Thank you.
And you're welcome.
Thank you.
And I served it to the guys, and they looked at me like, you don't know how to make bread. And I was like, come on.
Bring
guys.
It.
And I knew the silence when they ate it. I knew it was a hit. So I love this dish. I used to teach some classes, and this is one of the breads that I used to make a lot. And
so are you from Illinois?
I'm originally from Omaha. I've been here 12 years, though.
So really?
I'm a Chicagoan, yeah.
good for you. Because you got, I mean, you're a passionate dude, man. I get it. You're oozing, you know, like your love for
yeah,
cooking.
You know, 20 years, you do this for 20 years, it's because you love doing it. Yeah.
Sure.
And the supportive team we have at the Renaissance with Ray's and the Marriott is really amazing.
What's the vibe inside there?
Like, oh, it's cool, I, sexy,
truthfully,
smart.
I haven't been in there. But it's like, describe to our listeners the decor and the vibe and all that.
Yeah, you're going to come off the elevator when you come into Ray's. We're on the third floor, and it's all black. Everything is all black. And then you walk into an all-white hallway as well. So it throws you off. But then you walk into Ray's, it's super warm. Inviting, low lighting, lots of candles, very sexy. It's very easygoing. And the
what view, kind of materials are we talking? Leathers, woods?
Oh, you get all that leather, wood, metals, glass. Ooh. It's really, really something special. They thought of all the details.
Who designed it? You know?
I'm not exactly sure on who designed it, but I know our team at the Renaissance Hotel had a big, big say in that. And it was a project that went on for about a year and a half.
Oh,
and
wow.
So, yeah, we've been open now for a year and a half. So it's been a project going on for a while.
Business
has
been good?
It's fantastic. You walk out onto the patio. You're on the third floor overlooking the river, the marina. I mean, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, and business has been good for you guys?
It's been, we're pretty blessed, yeah. It's been really, really well. We're very
tourists,
excited about
or are you getting a lot of locals, like, discovering it and making it their spot?
You know, it is local. What we're finding is really local. And as the weather slows down, or the weather comes in, it will tend to slow us down a little bit because we're a patio bar.
Right.
That's why we're bringing all these cool, sexy, fun things to do with the supper series. We're doing a Navigator dinner coming up.
What's the Navigator dinner?
Navigator dinner is something all Renaissance will do on the 6th of November throughout. And it's all creating just an interesting meal, and we're doing it for 8 people, so 8 very lucky people get to come do this.
How does it, so people like vie for this? How does it work?
So how the people are selected is kind of a secret.
But, what do you mean? It's
no. Really,
nobody's
honestly,
listening.
Nobody's listening. No, really, it's our senior team that puts that together, and they.
But is it guests? Is it former guests of the hotel? Is it how do they like? Where does it?
It's a lot
start?
Of people that work with us and support us. So it's our thank you to them to come in and be part of it. So some Renaissance are doing
so
a little
mysterious.
Larger. Yeah, it's really a cool experience, and that's why I look for it coming up. We do it every year. It's going to be every year the first week.
So do you make a special menu just for that?
It is a special menu, and we are doing things like we're doing some snake croutons. We're doing some venison. We're doing a lot.
Did
of
you just
really
say snake? What?
Snake croutons?
Yes.
So, like real snakes?
Like, it's real snakes, yeah.
Wait, like people eat the snakes?
Yeah, they do. It's
I
ate really
snake
cool.
in Florida. I had gator and snake. Yeah. It's not bad.
Well, gator, I
but
see.
But a crouton out of a snake?
Yeah. It's going to be a cool experience. So,
wait, what else did you say? Keep going.
We're doing some venison. We're doing some sea urchin. It's really cool. And we are open.
Wow.
It's just a table in the corner for the 8 people, but the restaurant will be open on that
and
day.
And serving that so menu for the day?
No, just for the 8 people. If you want to come have the experience of the rest of Rays, we're open. You can also come, and it's going to be a cool vibe that night. They're doing a lot of fun stuff.
So if you do something like that and there's a big, like, you know, buzz around what you prepared that day for that particular event, mm-hmm. will you adapt any of that into a trial menu or make it part of the fixed menu?
You know, if it was received well, yeah, we would definitely. We're always looking
like
to change things.
Like the snake crouton. I've never heard of that in my life. I've interviewed thousands of chefs. I've never heard of that.
It's pretty cool. You know,
did
Chef
you think
Daniel
of that?
Was one. No, it's actually our executive chef of the hotel, Chef Daniel. He's the one that really was inspired that menu and came up with it. So it's going to be a cool experience. Yeah.
Well, what was he thinking that day?
Like, oh, he never stops thinking. That's the thing. That's,
I love that.
That's your culinary people. They never stop thinking.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, listen. Folks, you can go visit Chef Timothy over at Ray's Bar Chicago. They're located in the Renaissance. It sounds delightful. The first event that you're going to be taking place is October 14th, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have some warm corn pudding, smoked barbecue lamb sliders, an onion with kale and sumac flatbread. Ooh.
Yeah, that was the one we just did. We tested that one in October. It was really fantastic. And so our next one is going to be...
So you'll kick this off. When is the following one?
So this is going to be November 11th, I believe, the second Saturday.
How do you go up from warm corn pudding?
How do you make warm corn?
I'm saying, how do you go from there onto the next one?
Oh,
can't even imagine what warm corn pudding tastes like.
I feel like I can taste it going down my throat right now. Yeah, to be quite honest,
that's the alcohol you're tasting right now.
No.
That jabroni, it's going to get jabroni. You. I'm telling you,
I can feel it already.
Yeah,
fantastic. Fun stuff.
Yeah, and I didn't even drink a lot of it.
Chef, where can people find more information about you? Do you guys have a personal website, a Facebook page you want to put out there, or you want to just have people go to Ray's Bar Chicago?
RaysBarChicago.com. My Instagram is Powell's123, and you'll see a lot of the work that I do. I post on there a lot of the food that I do.
Love that.
Yeah, so you can check me out there.
thank you so much. Appreciate you bringing all the stuff in. It's 1 West Wacker Drive. Go check it out. I know I will be there very soon with my wife.